Rebecca?
Okay. I'm talking. This is recording though, right? Okay. Sorry. Where was I? Oh, you can't tell me, right? You can't tell me. No, when it comes to this particular subject, there are many, that's what I was saying, we will unpack what this means, because when we speak of bioethics, we will be addressing this, but probably it's more to the point and more accurate to say we're going to be talking tonight about biomedical ethics. When we speak about bioethics, that really has to do with the biosciences, which involves genetics. Tonight we're going to be talking more about what is biomedical ethics or clinical ethics. And the reason why that's important for what we're doing tonight in this event is because this particular case I want to share with you is representative of many cases. And these are those in hospital. There are many in hospital today or in the medical world that have no voice. And we're going to meet a very young man, premature young man, actually, who doesn't have a voice. And he's representative of so many out there who are voiceless. And because they don't have little babies who are preemies, like Bobby, who we'll meet tonight, have very uncertain futures. In fact, you know, they might have a future where they may not ever get their physical voice back to where it should be. Who's going to speak for them? So I'm here to implore you, as you are doing this one event, for how many of you, I don't know, would be interested in a profession in medicine? Anyone in here? Kind of? Okay, well, I'll tell you, this is one arena where Christians are necessary, because there are so many voiceless out there. And because they have an uncertain future, might think that, well, it's not worth saving a life like this, because after all, they might have a life full of disability, and what kind of value or worth is that? Who would want to live? I mean, isn't it better to be dead than disabled? And I don't know, how many of you watch medical shows today? Anyone? How about, Grey's Anatomy? Anyone? Okay, how about the one that comes up? This is a case that was just raised last week, actually. Private practice. Anyone on private practice? Okay, private practice comes on after Grey's Anatomy. They happen to have had a case on that show that dealt with a baby who was born at 25 weeks, had multiple issues in terms of, what's very common with brain bleeds and underdeveloped intestines and so forth, and right on the verge of what they call being viable. Well, Addison is her name, Dr. Montgomery, who's she's the neonatologist, and she, after examining this baby, said, you know what? The quality of life, and had to go to the parents. The parents had not, you know, this was their first child. They had been trying for years and years and years to have a baby. So this baby comes, he's premature. And she says, you know what? I don't think it's worth saving the baby's life. Talk the parents into disconnecting the life support. Life support, by the way, in a NICU, in a neonatology, is not heroic measure. That's standard normal treatment for preemies, is to be on life support, okay? Parents were adamantly against it at the beginning of the show, but began to say, as they say in the show, to become rational and see things her way. So guess what happened to that child in the show? They disconnected the life support. And don't think for 1 minute that those out there, the public, doesn't think in the back of their mind as they're watching a show like this, yeah, that's probably good. Who would want to live like that? They are the voiceless. They are out there, just beginning life. And so what you're doing tonight is extremely important. So I want to get into why this is important and why this is important for the church. You know, when we talk about medical ethics, we're talking about life and death issues. What does the church deal with? Life and death issues. Why did Christ come? Because we were dead. Why did he die on the cross? To bring us life again. Who has more authority in any institution we know today to speak about life and death than the church. Would you all agree with that? That's why this is important. Okay, so let's go ahead and I'll pull up my PowerPoint here. What I'm going to do, and I'll tell you exactly how I kind of want to approach this tonight in terms of, and I realize you don't have a voice, but before we get into any of the issues from a Christian perspective, I want you to, I'm going to explain this case to you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you along with my duties at Johnny and Friends. Let me make sure mine's still hooked up here. Yeah. Let me add, like I said, what is bioethics? Let's add, what is biomedical or clinical ethics? And what does that have to do with the church? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Along with my duties at Biola and at Johnny and Friends as Director of Public Policy, I started my medical career on the Ethics Committee at Children's Hospital in Orange County for 7 years until I moved up to Agoura Hills. Now I'm on the Ethics Committee at Tarzana. So as an ethicist, that's one of the critical aspects of my job is to be on the Ethics Committee. And for those of you who want to think about going into medicine, it is crucial to have Christians on Ethics Committee. Do you know why? Because they have an awful lot of influence in the way they deal with the staff and the patients. And you know what? Sometimes patients turn to ethics committee members and ethics committee teams about crucial decisions on life and death. That's why it's critical that Christians be on these committees, so it does take more time. You are actually there as a voice for Christ. Even though you can't use Scripture, you are there to stand up for what is right. And that's one of the jobs I do right now. So what I want to share with you is a case that is very, very common, especially in pediatrics and neonatology. Okay? This young man is small. I want to go through that. I know because there's a lot of information here. I'm going to read this to you, just like we deal with in hospital. And then there's three questions I want you to look at. And I want you to grapple. How would you answer these questions before we actually get into a scriptural understanding of these questions? Okay? I know it's going to be a little challenge because you don't have a voice, but I want you to listen closely to what's going on with Bobby, because you know what? His life hangs in the balance right now. And I want you to think about the fact that you're on a committee and now his life is in your hands. That's how it really is. Okay? All right. Bobby, he's now 6 months old. If you guys want to take notes, you can take notes on this, because we're going to come back to this case at the end. We're going to come back to it. I want to see if your answers are different. I want you to answer them now, and I want to see if your answers are different at the end. Okay? He's 6 months old now. He was born premature with a birth weight of only 800 grams. That's just around 2 pounds or so. Okay? So he's very small. And he had multiple problems from the beginning. Listen to some of these problems now. Bobby developed a membrane disease it was a hyaline membrane disease due to his undeveloped lungs. So he had all kinds of fluid in his lungs, and he had need for a respirator. Now that's not unusual, but this is the situation he was in. He also developed rickets. Now I just looked this up because anybody know what rickets is? Heard that term before? Let me tell you what it is. Rickets is actually a softening of the bones in children, potentially leading to fractures and deformities. So here he is, 6 months old, and he already has this condition. Okay? He had a CAT scan at 6 months old. It revealed some calcium deposits on the brain. So we don't, what that indicates is that he might have, it might, nobody knows for sure, but this could be a long-term condition, okay, that could lead to some kind of learning disabilities or so forth. So we're just not sure about that, and the doctors are not sure about that. So within his first month, Bobby developed low platelet count, for which he was given transfusions. He now suffers a depression of his immunological system, so he can't fight off diseases now. And that is probably related to his transfusions. He shows little interest in eating, and all his attempts to bottle feeding him have failed the past couple days. So it's 2 days that he hasn't taken in any food either. His health care, they've tried to bottle feed him, but his health care costs, now listen to this, and I think this is underestimated, but listen to the health care costs, and this is something we're talking about quite a bit in our society today, is supported by Medicaid, and they estimated to be in the neighborhood of about $550,000 for his first 6 months of hospitalization. That's a conservative estimate. It's probably closer to, after 6 months, closer to $1 million, for sure. Now, the healthcare staff and the attending physician are considering the possibility of a bone marrow transplant to deal with the low platelet count and his immunosuppression, to try to boost his immune system. They want to try it's experimental approach. The chances of success in an infant this small are minimal. They're minimal. And the procedure is largely experimental in infants having this condition. If a transplant is successful, it will alleviate only one of his many problems. Do you hear the way that's being communicated? Only one of his many problems. This is a common case. In fact, this was a real case many, many years ago. So, now, you're the ethics committee, and we're coming to you because the parents don't know what to do. Should they try this experimental treatment to try to save Bobby's life? So here's three questions I want you to look at, okay? And I'll give you some time to interact with one another because I want you to think about this. Let's see what time we have. Jeremiah, what time is it? Okay, it's 8:25. So I want you to take, probably 6-7 minutes and try your best to communicate with one another. I want to know what you're going to recommend for Bobby. And then we're going to get into some of the biblical understanding of, you know, what might the Bible have to say about this? The Bible doesn't talk about CAT scans or transfusions or experimental drugs. What does the Bible have to say about this? And how can the Bible guide you in this? And believe me, you get an ethics committee today. You can't bring your Bible to the ethics committee meeting. But how do you communicate a Christian worldview? That's something I deal with daily in this arena. Okay? Look at some of these questions. In view of the many uncertainties related to this case, how would you treat him? Should society, listen to this, we know how expensive this is, should society be expected to shoulder such an expense for an infant who is physiologically and perhaps mentally compromised? He's going to have disabilities, maybe. You guys are not speaking right now because of this. Okay? Is it better for you? What do you think? Is it better for us as a society not to have Bobby here? What do you think? Do the parents have a right to reject this experimental treatment? This is an aggressive treatment, or to insist on it? Where does the parent stand on this? What obligation do we have to Bobby as a society? And I want you to begin to think, what obligation do we have to Bobby in the church? We're looking at the society right now, but then I want you to think out to the church. Okay? Take 6 minutes. Try to figure this out. Okay? Jeremiah, I want you to walk around too. Oh, this is old school to him. He knows this stuff. Okay? He's been with me for a long time. He can help you too. And I'll walk around with you all as well. Try your best to write down and interact. What are you going to do? His life hangs in the balance. Okay? 6 minutes. Walk around, Jeremiah. Help him.
You're going to figure this all out. I know.